and we truly believe that this is what God has spoken to the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, so that we would truly know His will, so that we would know the truth. So we look to the truth today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that everything we need to know about salvation in Jesus is found within these pages. And Lord, everything we need to know to respond to Your Son's matchless grace is also found within the pages of this book. Lord, you teach us how to be the church. You teach us what it means for us to be a people who are called to spread the word of life, to spread Your Son Jesus everywhere we go. We ask for help today when it comes to our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. If you are here today, worshiping with us at First, if you think that what we do here is just about religion, then you've got it wrong. If that's all this is religion, then you've got it wrong. There's more to what we do here at First than external practices, doing stuff. It's more to it than that. And there's more to it than just traditions. And It's not just about having a particular belief system. There's more to it than that. Here at First, by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that we are united to Jesus. We have union with Christ. I want to talk about this in three different ways. Number one, when it comes to being united to Jesus, we are spiritually joined to Him. For those of us who have bowed our knee to our Lord and our Savior Jesus, those of us that have put our trust in Him and who have decided to follow Him every day of our lives by looking to the Word of God, by prayer, really getting talking with the Lord, we are spiritually joined to Jesus. We have a deep connection with Him. And what's true of Him because of our connection is also true for us. So this gets us to number two. Number one was we're spiritually joined to Jesus. Number two, because we're spiritually joined to Jesus, we share in His benefits. This is how we're saved. We're saved by our connection to Him, and we share in His benefits. All of the benefits of His life, His death, and His resurrection, we have because we are united to Him. We're connected with Him. We're talking about forgiveness of sins. We're talking about justification. We're talking about eternal life. We have all of these, not because we follow a religion, but because we're united to Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we are spiritually connected to Him. So number one, spiritually joined. Number two, we share in His benefits. And number three, because we're connected to Jesus, because we have union with Him, He has sent to us, each and every one of us, His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit works in us so that we can experience a transformed life, so that we are our new creatures, so that we are children of God. And because we're connected to Jesus, we have been empowered to live a life that is pleasing to God. These are all parts of our union with Jesus. Does this describe you and your faith? Is what this is about for you, is it all just religion? Or are you united to Jesus? Are you connected to the vine? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Are you connected with Him? Being united to Jesus is the mark of true faith. And it is an unbreakable bond that changes us forever. I've told my story a lot of times, but I know you guys have your stories too, about how you have been dramatically changed by Jesus. Where maybe you were once far from Him, but now you are close to Him because you are connected to Him spiritually. So, Paul sets this baseline out for the Christians. You're united to Jesus. You're spiritually connected to Him. Now, with this union to Jesus, have you been encouraged? Have you found encouragement from Christ in your connection with Him? Have you had any comfort from His love? Have you had fellowship with the Spirit? Have you experienced that wonderful tenderness from Jesus? If you, by the way, if you're united to Jesus, yes. Yes, you certainly have experienced all of these things, because this is what comes when you are connected to Jesus. If you've experienced these things, Paul says, you know what? Make my joy complete. He would be happy. He would be content. And it would be his great hope that you would make his joy complete by doing what? By being like-minded. By being like-minded to Christ. You're connected with him spiritually. Now you're called to be like-minded. And that makes perfect sense, right? If we are truly united and connected to Jesus, and we talk with God in prayer day after day, and we look at his word day after day after day, we're going to be like-minded with Christ. Now, what do I think it means to be like-minded? I don't think it's about liking the same things. And we're going to talk about the church context here. I don't think it's about liking the same things. Some people here at First might grow best in a small group. Other people here might grow best in a class. Again, it's not about liking the same things. I don't even think it's about preferring the same style. And we can talk about music here. Some Christians might like Gregorian chants. Other Christians might like new music. Other Christians might like hymns. Some people might love the Gaithers. Other people might ask the question, what in the world is that? I don't think it's about having the same style. I don't think it's about having the same interests either. What it means for us to be like-minded. Some people might like a silent retreat. Other people might like a gospel quartet. I also don't think it's about having the same spiritual gifts. I don't think it's about having the same thoughts or feelings or preferences. Rather, I think it's something bigger when it comes to being like-minded. And I think these are the big things that really matter. Being solid in the Word of God together. Being solid in the Word of God together. That's what it means for us to be like-minded. Being solid in the truth of the gospel about what Jesus has done for us. That's a call for us to be like-minded. And certainly here, being caught up in love together. I think that's being like-minded. We're talking about being caught up together in our love for Jesus. And I also think it's about being caught up in love with our fellow brothers and sisters. Right here in our own congregation, if you take a second to look around where you're sitting, you see the people that are here this morning? When you open up the directory and you see the people in there, those are the very people that you are called to love, like Jesus loves. That's what it means to be like-minded, to be together in the Word, together in the gospel, in love with Jesus together, and in love with one another. This is having the same big picture. This is being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, being one in purpose. I don't know about you, but this is something that I can get behind, and I hope that it's something that you can get behind too, having this same big picture. You know, when you have the same big picture, all of those things that I talked about before, the styles and interests and thoughts and feelings and preferences, all of these things take a back seat when you have the big picture together. They become no big deal when you have the big picture together, being like-minded. This means that we must stop setting our minds on our own goals. Goals based off of our own styles, preferences, and interests. And we must stop setting our minds on our own glory. What makes me look good? What advances my agenda? What is fulfilling to me? In what ways have you worked to promote your own personal agenda over seeing the big picture? How often have you thought that your way of doing things is the best way? Is it like that for every subject? No matter what it is, your way is totally the best way? I don't know about you, but I get into that train of thought, thinking that my way is going to be the best way of doing things. Paul says, you know what? In humility, we are to consider others better than ourselves. You know, if all of us were on the same page with the big picture, our relationships in the church would change dramatically. If all of us took this on, this would be a different kind of place. I think a place in line with where God is calling us to go and who God is calling us to be. Yes, we will look out for our own interests. But what if we put priority in our lives, in our ministry, and in our leadership, put priority on holding up the interests of others before our own? Holding up the interests of others before our own. What if each one of us laid aside our own styles, our own preferences, our own interests, our own thoughts on things, and instead worked on building each other up, honoring, listening, strengthening, encouraging, overlooking each other's faults, and making others the center of our concern? Paul brings it all home. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus, in his very nature, who is he? He is God. He is the Word of God. And we need to use a bigger word here, pre-existent. Jesus is the Word before the Word was made flesh. We can go back to creation and we can see our God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at creation. Jesus, in his very nature, is God. He is the Word that has always existed, who became flesh. And this is important. We call this Christology, and it is very important because what it means is that God humbled himself. The Son of God came down off of his throne in heaven and became a man. He became one of us. And he took on the role of a servant to save us. And he bled and died on a cross for us, made himself nothing, poured himself out in all humility so that we would have eternal life. This mindset of Jesus, this is the kind of mindset that we are called to as Christians, having the same picture, being like-minded. Just think about the obedience here. Jesus, as fully God, decides to humble himself and become a man. And as a man, when he hung up there on that cross, he was still God. He could have called down a legion of angels to stop what was happening to him on the cross, but he did not. Instead, he went all the way to the grave for us and for our salvation. That is the kind of picture that each one of us as Christians is called to. Are you willing to pour yourself out? Are you willing to make yourself nothing, to humble yourself, to truly imitate Christ? If so, Paul says, continue in obedience. Keep walking down that road. Keep taking steps in humility. Keep growing closer to Jesus, understanding his will and his ways. Lean into your union with him and recognize that spiritual bond you have with him. Learn to be more and more like-minded, loving as he loves, and putting others, putting the interest of others before your own. God is at work in you and me. He's at work in all of us. And we're called to live that out. Live out that wonderful, matchless good news of salvation with fear and trembling. On our knees, looking to the Lord for guidance. So Paul continues. No more complaining. No more grumbling. All of that's got to come to an end. Stop finding faults. Stop the personal attacks. Put an end to gossip. And how about arguing and being divisive? You got to put an end to that too when you are looking to get in line behind Jesus. No more starting fights. No more stirring the pot. Instead, you need to watch yourself and put these things away, because we're on a new path now and we got a big picture in mind. You know, Paul says that we're called to shine like stars in the universe. Shine like stars. Shine in such a way that nobody can find fault in you. Nobody with a bad reputation at First Reformed Church. Not one hypocrite among us. You know, today in general, people see the church as being worse than everybody else. The church has got a bad reputation. But that's not how it should be. The church is called to be a model for a crooked and distorted generation. The church holding out the word of life to people who desperately need to hear the good news and to see that there is truly life outside of all the garbage that they're involved in. When they see us together, they should see Jesus. That's what they should be looking at. It makes sense. Like I said before, we are united to Jesus. So we should look like Jesus. We're spiritually joined to him. We share in his benefits. And we are currently experiencing the transformed life. As we think about Scrappy Church, we got a few different things that we can think about. Are you willing to put other people's interests above your own? Are you willing to try new things, to explore new ideas? Are you willing to lay your criticisms aside? Are you willing to walk a walk where we might take one step forward and two steps back? Are you in love with the people right here among us? And are you willing to run after their interests instead of your own? This week, I encourage you to pray about it. And my hope is that in humility, you let yourself be guided by God so that all of us together, moving forward, have the big picture in mind. Because with the big picture in mind, those little things don't matter so much. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for gathering us around your wonderful and awesome holy word. Lord, this is our only rule for faith and life. And we know that in the big picture, your word matters. Following you matters. And loving others matters. Lord, guide us as we continue to grow to be the church that you have called us to be. Lord, we think about some of the words from the beginning here. Determined, persistent, unwavering. Also the word of life that we have can go to many, many more people in our community. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, I'd like to invite my wife to come back up and join.